Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Oh, hi. Good morning. Come on in. You're just in time. Take a seat.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Rowe. Sir, I have a problem with my boiler.
How about some coffee? Cream, sugar?
What is the best backup generator made today?
Blueberry scone, perhaps?
When you turn on the hot water, it whistles like a train.
Get comfy, because Lou Casa, tu casa. And he's taking your questions till 10. Right here on the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Baby, take control now. We can't even slow down.
Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by wetandforget.com and our friends at Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200. A couple things coming up this morning. I'm really excited about the Noodaloo, too. Now, you know, I already heard about it. I already heard the Noodaloo 2. Normally, I only hear it the first time on this show, but I'm excited for you as well. This is something, if you like sharp knives, which I've determined, I've already found out from Lindsay that, you know, Mary Beth
don't
and
give
I.
Give it away.
Okay. It's coming up at 7:50. If you like sharp knives, pay attention later on coming up.
I don't like sharp knives.
Right, as we know, and I have a whole, I can just redo it again. I can just talk the whole thing again. And then we're going to talk about, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about this company that we're going to talk to when it comes to organic gardening, because it's like Lion King.
Huh.
Uh-huh. Just stay tuned for that. 8:35 in the morning, right. It's the circle of life. No, henna, mamma missi, mamma. You'll have to stay tuned for later. I think that's the words. At 8:35 in the morning. Dave Schwann sitting in. Hello, Dave Schwann.
Hey, good morning.
It's been a long time since I've seen you.
It has been a while, like Christmas.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Good morning to you, and good morning to Lindsay.
How you been?
Good.
Morning.
Good. Looking forward to coming in and working with you.
Very
folks
nice
again.
To have you here this morning.
Thank you.
Sam's out in Arizona for the Final Four, which is a lot of fun. We'll be talking to him all morning long. That's cool if you're a sports guy to be out at something like that. That's got to be so much fun.
So
he was
cool.
Psyched. We got together earlier in the week, and he's been looking forward to this.
Yeah,
so I hope
yeah.
he has fun out there.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. So we'll be talking to Sam throughout the morning about that. I'm trying to think of some other things that I need to tell you people before we get started. But let's just go to the it's raining, I'm sure that the two people that are super happy are roofers and basement waterproofing people. The Permaseal people are just, you know, happy. They're doing their happy dance and trying to schedule things away. Now you know your basement leaks because it rains so much. Don't wait. Just call and have them fix it, okay? You're going to have to get in line because you waited. It's like the last time you're going to pull all the boxes out of the basement and put them out in the street. Those pictures, that'd be a great thing. Send me the pictures of all the wet stuff you put out by the curb and we'll post them.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know. It's miserable. Miserable.
I have anxiety every time it rains. I've had so many bad experiences in
really?
The past. Well, you know, yeah, you hear about all of them.
Yeah.
I hate water.
You just came from a water park.
Ugh. Who else was there? I can tell you that half of Chicagoland listening right now
was the first
was
time.
Like, oh, we were there too.
It was the first time you took your girls to a water park,
yeah,
right?
It was fun.
Did you sing
but it
the?
Was very
did you sing that you were
busy.
At you were at Key Lime Cove? Did you sing the Key Lime Cove song?
What's that one?
I don't know.
Copacabana.
No, it's like Welcome to Key. I don't know what it is. Oh. There was a song. They made up a song
You're
when
kidding.
They yeah like you're something Key Lime Cove something like that. They didn't play that incessantly over and over again.
Nope.
Did you have a beer in a plastic bottle?
No, I brought my own wine.
Are you turning into a wine snob?
Well, no. I just wanted to have it in my room at handy at all times. And
there you go.
That's
You girls, it's time to go to bed. Mommy's going to have some juice.
They went to bed at 8:30, and I put Mommy's juice in a cup, and then I got my little Netflix on my tiny little iPhone, and I watched Fuller House.
Wow.
It's great.
Wow. That is, thank God you're married. As if you were telling people that now and you were single, I think you'd be a spinster. You'd be a spinster.
Yep.
All right. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Diane is in Arlington Heights. Hi, Diane. You're on WGN.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks so much for talking to me about this.
Absolutely.
I have bricks that are spalling. We have an older home. It's made of Chicago common brick. So what I'm looking for is a tuck pointer or mason who knows how to do the matching, and he knows the mortar requirements for this type of brick.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a really good tuck pointer would know all that and be able to match it. What I caution you is not be driven by the price, but driven by the experience. The place to go to start your search is NARI.org, which is the National Association of the Remodeling Industry, NARI.org. And so the NARI website has a bunch of remodeling contractors, and they'll have tuck pointers there. You'll put in your zip code, and you'll get a bunch of contractors there. And then you'll get how much are we doing, the whole house or just a certain area?
No, certain area. Well, here's what's unusual is you could tell that there's a lesser grade of brick on our garage than on our house. It looks like the garage was built afterwards.
Right.
And it seems more porous. And this degradation of the brick is more obvious on the garage than it is on the house. So there's just a few courses, you know, that are affected. But, yeah, that's what I'm concerned about.
Right. I would start your search there. And then from that point, you'll be able to find probably a couple people that you can get there to take a look at to get you a price on that. All right. I appreciate the phone call. I'm going to talk to Matt, who's in Batavia. Hi, Matt. You're on Mark, who's in Batavia. Hi, Mark. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. Thanks. Hey, I have a house that was built in 1972, two-story attached garage. I have a second layer of shingles up there that's about 25 years old, and I'm looking to replace that, and I'm wondering your thoughts on metal versus going back to shingle.
Oh, I love a metal roof. I mean, I think that a metal roof architecturally is one of the coolest looking things ever, it just really sets your house apart from everything else. Now, that being said, the average shingled roof you're going to put on for about $350 to $400 a square, okay, meaning a 10 by 10 area, and a metal roof is about $750 to $1,000. So it's considerably more expensive, but, I mean, it is arguably the forever roof. You know what I mean? You drive through the country and you see these barns falling down, and the steel roof is still on top of it.
Okay.
Tell me the style of your home.
I think when I'm looking to it once as a salt box.
Okay, yeah. Okay, but if I'm standing across the street, what part of the roof do I see?
You see the part covering the garage. You see the part covering the porch.
Do I see the slope, or do I see, or does the ridge run parallel to the street or perpendicular to the street?
You see the slope.
Oh, nice. So you'd really see the roof as I pull up to that home. And is it a brick or sided home?
It has stone halfway on the bottom and then aluminum siding on the first floor halfway up and then aluminum siding on the upper story.
Oh, you could do some cool green, or you could do like a red. I think it would be really nice.
Well, I don't want it to stick out too much, though.
Well, I mean, there's earth tone colors, too. I mean, the thing with the metal roof is Even if you went with an earth tone color, the texture and the lines of it are going to offer some beauty that that's unique. I mean, it really is something. And, you know, people say, oh, but then you're going to hear the rain when it rains. Okay, fine. You hear the rains when it rains. It'd be a great way to take a nap. You know, it doesn't rain all the time. And I think they're absolutely beautiful. So if that's something that you're really interested in, what's nice is some of the websites, you can take a picture of your home now and virtually put the roof on top of your house so you can see it before you actually do it. And so I would spend a little time on the internet and look for that and do a little visualization, because that is the hardest part of the whole deal. Thanks so much for calling. All right, 7:19 in the morning. When we come back, we have to quickly talk a little bit about Lindsay and her, you know, the bebopper that you do? You do the bebopper? Oh, really? You don't? You don't want to talk about it? Well, she has this thing that she does where she bebops and she performs in Lake Forest, right? At Aloha Farms. You still do that, right? How many days do you do
it? One day a week, 11:15 on Wednesday mornings.
So if you have little...
Soon to add a Friday morning show at 9:30 during the summer only.
Right.
We're very popular up there.
Right. So it is a great place to bring your kids to come and experience music, which is the food of life, which is the opening line in Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. Did you know that?
I did not.
That should be like your thing. If music be the food of love, play on.
Oh.
It's the opening line to Twelfth Night.
Yes, the three-year-olds will love that.
I know. Just and you need to do it in iambic pentameter. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
Every day, my family and I apply lessons learned from Lou Manfredini, your Mr. Fix-It. Now, 15 years later, our lives is better. Previously, we were living under a snuggie hung over a phone line above the Outbound Edens. Today, we're still there. But it's got central air, triple pane windows, and a place to plug into George Foreman. My name is John Williams. I'm a major market radio personality. Thank you, Mr. Fix-It.
Now back to Mr. Fix-It with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
Guess who I had an impromptu dinner with last night?
John Williams.
Yes. You win. We went to... Well, now I'm going to feel sorry for him. You know, he's living here now. His beautiful wife is not here with him yet. And so he's all by himself. And he's got his sons, but they're busy. And we were chit-chatting back and forth. And we went, Mallory had a lacrosse game down at St. Ignatius last night. They won. It was freezing. And then we went down on Taylor Street. And I said, hey, why don't you meet us for dinner? So he came with Mary Beth and I and Quinn, our son Quinn. We had a lovely time.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it's really fun. John, coming up at 10 o'clock this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. So just getting back to your bebopper stuff, because I do want to always help you promote this to you.
I love you.
You've been doing this now for how long?
It'll be 3 years in June.
Amazing. And you have, what are the ages of the kids that come, moms and dads with their children?
Our nannies or grandmas, four and under is what the description usually
got it.
Says,
and it's kind of like a little sing-along thing, and you bring stuff for them.
I bring my guitar. I bring some shakers. I bring some props. We do different like themes, you know, like a beach theme or a cowboy theme.
Right.
And we sing all the fun oldies, but then some new ones that I make up on my own.
I think what you should do also is bring like a little martini bar. And so for the day, for the mommies, you know, and like have a little martini bar, and then you could do, you know, fun little...
It is funny because every time I go, whenever I go to with friends as the moms to these things like music classes, or we always say, gosh, they need a place that there's like a wine bar.
See?
Or
just throwing that out there.
As like,
you know what I am? I'm the big picture guy. I'm just throwing that out there.
Stay tuned. That's next week.
You know, maybe there's an opportunity with you and Binnie's. here's Bill in Des Plaines. Bill, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, Lou.
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
I have a kitchen floor that I put down about 15 years ago. I put down a sheet of underlayment, and I put down the self-stick tiles. Now they're all cracking and peeling up.
You got your money's worth out of that, Bill.
Yeah. I want to put down, the wife wants me to put down a new kitchen floor. But if I was to go over, would I go over that with another piece of underlayment, or should I peel all the tiles up?
I mean, if it were me, I've never been a fan. If you're a longtime listener of this show, I'm not a fan of putting a new finished floor over an old finished floor. Because when that old one fails, the new one is too. Are you going to do vinyl again?
I'm going to leave that up to the wife.
All right, good call.
But, you know, if I pull all the old tiles up, you know, around the outer one-foot perimeter, around the edges, they're going to be that layer of dirt, and it's still going to be sticky from the old tiles.
Well, you may end up having to put a piece of underlayment over the top of that and putting it down to then accept your floor.
Okay.
I mean,
so I wouldn't necessarily have to pull up the first original underlayment then?
Depending on how it goes when you take up that tile. You know, the only thing you got to worry about, Bill, is all of a sudden you keep building up. What does it look like around the base trim? Do you have to trim any doors? Are there other transitions between other areas of the floor that you want? You know, you don't want to have, like, step up or step down there. To me, taking the finished floor off is a better way to go. By the way, just as a side when it comes to the flooring, yesterday I was, you know, Dr. Yates, the guy that put the hair on my head? I was at his offices. He's got new offices, and they just remodeled them. We took some pictures. It's very funny. I'll tell you later, but there's going to be a print ad coming out with me and my wavy hair, which I'm super proud of. I mean, I didn't do anything but go through the procedure. If you're losing your hair and you want to do something about it, you got to call this guy. But anyway, they put down hand-scraped vinyl flooring that looks like hardwood in their offices. Beautiful. It's like a gray color. Really, really nice. We're going to get to news right after this.
What I will tell you is if they're going to do that underground, and they're going to think you're so smart, too, Phyllis, when you say this, when you use the PVC pipe, I want you to use Schedule 80 pipe.
Schedule 80.
Just say it like that. Make sure you're using Schedule 80. Say it with confidence like that, and the guy's going to be like, oh, my God, this lady's a genius.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Sitting in the kitchen, a house of making.
7:40 in the morning, Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a nice morning. Wet. Here's Evelyn in Burbank. Hello, Evelyn. How are you?
Hi. I'm calling for my daughter. She has a squeaky oven door, and she was afraid to spray WD-40.
Okay.
And also, she has a squeaky patio door. It's a screen part.
The
she thinks it's on the bottom.
The screen of the door is squeaky. Do we know what the patio door? I'll start with the patio door. Is it vinyl, aluminum? Do we know?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
It's old condo.
Okay. That screen door, if she grabs it if she opens it halfway and grabs it at both ends and goes up, she should be able to pull it out. Okay. Lift up, kick the bottom out, turn it on its side, and she's going to see some little wheels.
Oh, okay.
Now, there, what I would do first is I'd clean out that track because it's probably full of debris.
Oh, okay.
And then those two little wheels that she's going to see, I would squirt a little bit of lightweight oil in there. It can be, WD-40 or any other kind of lightweight oil spray. Then you put it back up, you put the top in first, push up, and then put the wheels back on the track. Sometimes you have to go with your hand and lift the wheels. They're on a spring, and you just have to get them back on the track. But it's pretty easy to do. Now, on the squeaky oven, chances are the squeaky oven is, it could either be the hinge or the spring.
Okay.
And, the hinge part, while it does get hot, is actually on the outside of the cooking part of the oven. So if she can open that up, and right where it pivots with the, that lightweight oil, typically they have a little plastic, like a tube, so you can go into a tight space.
Okay.
A quick little shot. I mean, like one little, that's it. Not a lot on both sides. And then articulate the oven up and down a few times. And if it's still squeaking, then it could be the springs, and those more than likely need to be replaced in order to quiet those things down. You don't want to spray those with any lightweight oil. You do that, and you shouldn't have a problem whatsoever. Evelyn, thank you so much for the phone call. Let's go to Barbara, who's in Skokie. Hi, Barbara. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. How you doing?
I'm great. Good morning.
Thanks. Listen, I just replaced my doors and windows in my ranch house.
Nice.
And they're a different, yeah, really. They're a different color now than my soffit and my fascias.
Okay.
So my question is,
what color are they?
They're white, and the new windows, it's called Red Rock. It's a really beautiful reddish brown.
Nice.
No, yeah. But the soffits and windows, the soffits and fascia are white.
Okay.
And it's just jarring when you look at the house. Can I paint those, or do I have to actually replace them?
Is it aluminum?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. You can paint it. You know, then you have a painted surface. But the thing is, with a soffit and fascia, it doesn't get a lot, in particular with the soffit, you don't get a lot of direct sunlight. And
right. And
so you wouldn't really have an issue with, you know, probably peeling. What I would do is, who's going to do this work? You're going to hire somebody?
Yes, I will.
Okay. I'd have them clean it all. Okay. What?
Right. Wait,
are the gutters? The gutters, too, are white, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are they in good shape?
Well, you know, they're old. They're probably at least 10 to 15 years old. The downspouts always can be replaced, you know, from damage and stuff.
Right.
But I just, you know, I was thinking about just replacing everything.
Replacing it all.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So here's the couple ways to go. You could have all that replaced. Soffit, fascia, gutters, the whole nine yards in the exact color that the windows are. And it's
right.
A baked on finish. It's going to look great. You know, I don't know how big your house is, but we're talking about spending, you know, thousands of dollars, right?
Like $10,000?
Well, tell me, is it a two-story home? It's a
single-story ranch, L-shaped ranch, about 1,500 square feet.
Okay. I would imagine I'm going to get, let's say, under $5,000.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, if you have someone come and paint it, okay, you'll probably spend $2,000. I'm just...
Okay.
You know, if you're going to stay long term,
and
within the budget you have that, I think that I would go all aluminum and just redo it all, because if you've got 10 or 15 year old gutters and downspouts, now might be the thing. Are you planning to stay in this home, Barbara?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. You know, maybe you replace the gutters and then you do some sort of leaf protection as part of the new gutters. You know what I mean? So now you never
think, yeah.
Now you never have to get up there or hire anybody to clean the gutters because you've done it all. You spend a little bit more money, and then I think it's probably a better investment if the budget allows.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay. Who do you recommend for soffit and fascia? Do the guys who replace the gutters also do soffit and fascia? Am I looking for that kind of company?
Yeah, most of the siding, window, and gutter people do soffit and fascia. So, for instance, Lindholm Roofing does siding. They do soffit, fascia, and gutters. Rogers Roofing, they do soffit, fascia, and gutters. Those would be people to call to get that work done.
Great.
All right.
Great. Yeah, thanks. Big help.
Have a great day. I appreciate you calling this morning. It is 7:47 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and back right after this.
Hi, Mike Emmerich from the NHL on NBC. Whether you're a visitor to Chicago like me or a lifelong resident, we all learn a lot about pavers and caulk and drywall and plumbing stuff to make our houses better. It's Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini, Saturdays on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks.
Thanks, Doc.
Dee-dee-dee-dee.
7:51 in the morning. Time now for our Noodaloo 2, sponsored by Dave Thompson's Organic
Healthy Grow fertilizers. Do you have knives that you use when you're cooking? Are they sharp? Take a listen to this Noodaloo too.
Guess what? I've never sharpened a knife before. Okay, that may indeed tell you I'm not a huge cook. I do enjoy it, but with two little ones running around and a boss that is really demanding, I need every second I can get. And knife sharpening just doesn't make the cut. Therefore, my knives, oh, that my boss and his lovely wife bought us for our wedding, by the way, are getting a little dull. But for all those folks out there that are in the market for a new knife block and hate sharpening them, the Saboteur Edge Keeper Pro is a 12-piece self-sharpening cutlery set, and it just happens to be our new Noodaloo 2 this week. The 12-piece forged triple rivet cutlery set features built-in knife sharpeners that utilize patented edge keeper design. This set includes a chef knife, a slicer knife, a chef knife with Cullens, 4.5-inch fine edge utility, a 3.5-inch paring knife, and 6 4.5-inch steak knives. Each knife block features built-in knife sharpeners that automatically sharpens up that cutlery every time the knives are pulled out. Each knife is made from high-carbon stainless steel, which is stain and corrosion resistant. The Edgekeeper Pro Block is made from natural hardwood with a matte black finish and has 5 integrated sharpening slots. Now, the knives are not dishwasher safe. You just hand wash with warm water and a little mild detergent. Rinse and dry immediately. The Saboteur Edgekeeper Knife Block goes for about $99, and you can find them at Wayfair, Amazon, and Fultzcraft. And, of course, I will put a link and a photo up on Lou's Facebook page. That's this week's new Noodaloo 2.
Okay, we were talking this morning, Lindsay and I, about sharpening knives. And she admitted to me, which I'm still can't believe it, that you never sharpen your knives.
I've never even sharpened one. I don't even know how to sharpen a
knife. For your wedding, Mary Beth and I
bought
you and David this knife set that registered for.
Yes.
I think I just made the final payment on it because we had to finance it. And you have very expensive taste.
It's my husband's. Remember that whole thing? David picked one thing out, and
that's
it was
what
the
he
knives.
Picked? Well, he's got very expensive taste.
And I yelled at him, and it was a big thing. And then it was funny because you bought them for us.
Right. And you've never sharpened the knife.
Never. But they still cut like a knife.
Amazing.
I use them, but I'm not like a big, huge.
Oh my
huge...
gosh. The knife block at our house is constantly being used. Mm. I mean, you have your favorite knives.
Mm-hmm.
And my big thing is I sharpen every knife before I use it. A sharp knife is a?
Is a happy knife.
A safe knife. No, it's not. I guess it's happy.
What about the ones with the rivets?
With the rivets.
You mean like a bread cutter? Do you sharpen those ever?
Yeah.
Oh.
With the little. So this one has the built-in sharpener in the block, which I think is the coolest thing. You put the knife in, you pull the knife out, just takes that little edge off the knife. This is a great deal. $99 for one, two.
There's like 12s. It's a 12 knife cutlery set or whatever it says.
But the 12 includes the steak knives.
Oh, right. So
I think you have 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I think there's 4, maybe 6. No, it can't be. Anyway, yeah, it's 6 and 6. I think that's what it is. The quality of the knives in this thing is very good. Like, they feel really good in your hands, so it's a really good quality knife set. The block is black in color, so it looks nice on displayed in the area. And so for someone like you, this is perfect for someone like you. I don't even know how to sharpen a knife. Just stick it in the block. That's all you have to do. How do I sharpen it? Pull it out of the block. The knife set that we bought you has a sharpener, right?
I don't know. What do you mean? Like comes on the side?
Yeah, it's like a handle with a long rod that you go.
I'm sure it's in our drawer.
Well, it should be part of the knife block.
Oh, no.
David doesn't cook at all.
No.
So he would never use the knife.
I mean, we use knives in the house. I mean, we always use them.
You just don't sharpen
them. Don't sharpen.
Wow. You are never going to be the spokes lady for Saboteur. What's it called?
Saboteur.
Saboteur. Yeah. Yeah, they're not hiring you.
Well,
You should say stuff like, oh, I love the sharpened knives. It's like what I do in the, when I'm trying to relax.
You do that well.
I would love to. I love a sharp knife. And it drives Mary Beth crazy because all she wants me to do is chop the thing. Just chop it. And I love to chop.
That's so weird.
I could sit at the kitchen and chop potatoes and green peppers. You could bring me bushels full and I'd stand there and just think about stuff. And
see, that is my, that is where you and I are very different.
I would love to do that. I could do it all the time. It's up on our Facebook page, $99. I think it's a great deal. Good quality knife set. If you're looking to upgrade what you have, check it out. I think you'll be really happy with it. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show. He's always got lots to talk about and lots of questions to answer. So give us a call, 312-981-7200 on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel.
8:07 in the morning.
It's my baby calling, so I need
got Dave Schwann jamming out in the newsroom. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and by Fox Home Center. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. You remember this song, Dave?
Of course I do. Mm-hmm. Golden Earring. Radar Love. Yeah. Absolutely. Brings back high school memories.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good song.
It is a good song.
I can remember driving with my buddy, Scott Pichetti, to high school. I think I must have been a sophomore. Yeah, he had a 72 Nova.
Okay,
and it had an AM radio.
Yeah,
with a single speaker in the dash. Remember,
right.
That's how it all was.
That's right. That's right. Right.
And at the time. At the time, Pink Floyd had
Dark Side of the Moon.
Dark Side of the Moon, and what was the song they used to play on the radio? Dun 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 dun. Dun. It was a guitar riff. It started. Maybe it's "Wish You Were Here." No, "Wish You Were Here." But anyway, on that AM radio, the way the fidelity was of that guitar, the way it started, it sounded so good out of that one little speaker. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just something in the fidelity of the AM radio. You know, back then I was listening to, Bob Surratt on WLS when he was on the rock and roll DJ.
The
back
Big
then.
89.
The Big 89 back then. And that was probably what we were listening to it on. I think he was middays at the time or maybe afternoons.
Yeah, no, he did middays and afternoon
middays
drive
and afternoons,
on LS,
right. But I can remember vividly driving to school. This is great music in the 70s. Are you one of the Alexa people? Have you done the Alexa yet?
Well, we have it in the newsroom, and we update the WGN news briefing with
right?
Alexa.
Yeah, I've got...
I don't have one personally, and Alexa and I really aren't on speaking terms right now. She got mad at me a few weeks ago, and so when I ask to hear anything, I get no reply.
Right, well...
I don't know what I said. It's
a running joke at our house, because we keep asking her. We love Alexa. I'm sure while I say this now, everybody's Alexa's going on. You can obviously. WGN does. It's the news flash, right?
Yes.
So you can ask
from the flash briefing from the WGN newsroom.
You can set up your Alexa. Everybody's going crazy. Alexa, flip a coin, and you can do WGN in the Chicagoland areas. Well, I guess anywhere you would ask, but here mm-hmm. in the area, if you want to do that, and. My wife will ask it to play a 70s playlist station, and the music is fantastic.
It comes right up.
Oh, it's so good. Whoever is over there at Amazon mixing the music together, it's just so good.
It really is amazing how they can do that.
The whole thing is just something else. It really is something else. So,
and they can tailor it to your own
right.
tastes and likings.
As Mallory says, she's listening to everything we say. I'm like, whatever. I got nothing to hide. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Tim is in Chicago. Tim, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Morning. How's it going?
Great.
So I'm having an electrical problem at my house. Seems like whenever I use anything that requires a little bit more power, the lights dim, and in some cases flicker or go out altogether. The microwave, even when I turn it on, it'll start strong, and then you could sort of almost hear it, like, go down a power level, if that makes sense.
Hmm.
I had an electrician out, and he said everything looked good at the box. He thought it might be with ComEd. They came out. They changed a few things on the utility pole, and also they changed my neutral line. But
okay.
I still have the same problem.
Tell me about your electrical service. 100 amp, 200 amp?
I think it's 100 amp. It's a Georgian house is about 60 years old.
Right.
We just bought it a couple years ago.
When you look at the panel,
uh-huh.
Are you at home now?
I'm not actually.
Okay. When you look at the panel, you know that the breaker at the top.
Okay.
Will have a number on it. If it says 100, then it's a 100 amp breaker. Or 200 if it's a 200 amp breaker.
Okay.
Has this been going on since day one?
No, it started about a month or two ago. I was trying to sort of piece together like when it actually changed, and the only thing I can come up with is we had like ComEd came out to do an energy, I guess, check or
right.
like that on the house.
An audit.
Yeah, they'll switch out your bulbs, and so at the time they switched out. We had one of those older mercury thermostats,
mm-hmm.
and they switched it out to an electrical one, but I don't think that would
No.
But that's mm-hmm. the only thing that's changed.
Right. And so anytime you do something like, do you notice, in other words, if the refrigerator kicks on, do the lights dim?
No, but if I turn the vacuum on, the lights will dim for a second. If I'm downstairs and I use the dryer, I actually have to hold the start button down because all the lights will go down and then it'll start up.
Oh, yeah. There's something with your utility.
Yeah.
I mean, if you know, in the box, I mean, the only other thing that I could... If it wasn't happening when you first got there, then there's nothing inherently within the building that's changed. There's something with the connection or the what they call the phase coming into the building that they have to check out again.
Okay. So do you think it's coming into the building or
it's coming
happening?
It's at the pole or somewhere. Like you're not getting if you've got a 100 amp service or you have a 200 amp service, you're not getting that raw. Essentially, what happens is there's more, you know, in the system, you know, in kind of, you know, if you can imagine the way the grid system works, it's like a giant bucket of water, and they just keep dumping electricity into this bucket of water. Bad analogy, but and then you're siphoning the amount of electricity that you need to feed your house, and that hose that's bringing the water to you is somehow restricted.
Okay.
The barrel, the water tower is full of electricity, but you've got a restriction that is it's unable to suck the water out when it needs it, which is your electricity, and they need to come test that out. And you need to get the ComEd guys back and say, watch my dryer. I mean, it's a perfect example. Is it, or, you know, when I turn the vacuum cleaner on, it shouldn't have a little bit of a – I mean, if lights are on the same circuit, it's not uncommon that you'd get a little quick – little dude, you know, like that.
Right.
But not to the point where you have to hold the button to start the dryer.
Right. And when I talked to them about it, I mean, they were super nice guys, but at the end of the day, when they were done doing what they were doing, they said, well, there's nothing else that we could do. You're going to have to get a hold of an electrician because it's a problem inside.
They need to, what they need, someone needs to come out and test the amount of amperage that's coming into the house on the top of the meter.
Okay.
And so that's who I think you probably had the wrong guys from ComEd. You know, they were, but you've got a fluctuation issue that's coming into that house.
Okay.
It's not in the house.
Okay. Because they did mention checking, I guess, the ground at the water line.
No, the ground, yeah. But I mean, the ground, that's a safety issue that has nothing to do with the draw.
Gotcha.
Is it connected? I mean, do you see a ground at the water line?
Yeah, there is.
There's a metal pipe there and then a little piece of copper flat pipe that's screwed to it.
Yep.
You're grounded.
Right.
So, I mean, that they're just making stuff up. Call them back and get someone those. Ask for a supervisor to come out and take a look because, say, I think there's a problem with the phase and the amperage coming to my home.
Okay.
Say those things.
Okay.
They'll get it fixed.
Okay, great.
All right.
All right, thanks for your help.
Appreciate it, Tim. You have a good day. Appreciate you calling this morning.
Let's talk to Marty, who's in Brookfield. Hey, Marty, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, I had a toilet fixed yesterday. It was leaking, and they put a new ring on it. But under the toilet was a drywall ceiling, and it got to the point where it's sort of mushy where right where the toilet is.
Yeah.
And then I have some indirect access because 2 feet to the left of it is sort of a drop ceiling that I can remove.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I should just passively let it dry or throw a little fan in there or get damper it or just forget about it.
Well, I wouldn't forget about it. So, in other words, if you go up on a ladder and you push with your fingers, you can kind of move it a little bit?
Yeah, it's a little base. It's a finished office, so it's not that high. But, yeah, it's
okay.
Right, it's just in one spot. There's also, like, a bunch of little pimply growths, like, I don't know, just little, little bumps.
Right. Marty, people are just waking up. They're having their cornflakes right now, and you're talking about. Okay, so here's what I would do. There is a product called Fog U Mold, okay, that you're going to get at, where are you, Marty? Brookfield. Go to your local Ace. It's a spray from the folks at Healthful Home. When you get up in that, drop ceiling, you're going to hold this aerosol spray and you're going to spray it in there and it's going to kill all that mold. And then you can spray a little bit on the surface of the ceiling of this office, too, just a little bit, and then let it dry. Just take a fan, if you have a box fan or something, blowing up, and let it blow on there for a day or so. And then once it hardens, then you're going to scrape a little bit. You're going to put a patch of some spackle or whatever and touch it all up, and it'll kill all the mold.
Okay, Fog U Mold.
Fog U Mold.
All right, great.
Wait, say Fog U Mold again.
Foggy Mold.
Very good. It's like that. Have you seen that CarMax commercial for We Be Sidibo? Have you seen that one? It's like some funny commercial with the guy. We Be Sidibo. We'll buy your car even if we don't buy yours. And the guy's going back, We Be Sidibo. We Be Sidibo. We're doing our own Foggy Mold. Save that Foggy Mold. I still want a t-shirt that says Foggy Mold. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. I love this show.
Hey, baby.
Thanks, Big O.
I ain't asking what you.
Happy belated birthday.
No, baby. I ain't asking what you.
Orion Samuelson and Dean Richards share a birthday together. Happy birthday, Dean. 312-981-7200 is our phone number, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. Frank's in Naperville. Hey, Frank, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good. Both hands on the wheel.
Thank you. 10 and 2.
10 and 2.
Lou, I was doing some painting the other day, and I was looking at the trim work, and I noticed I had, like, little scratches on the wood trim that I never really noticed until I got close to it. So I'm wondering, is there a product that I can use to try to cover up some of those blemishes? It looks like it's not a deep scratch. It looks like it's more of a surface scratch and maybe took a little bit of stain off there. I bought a product called Old English, and I guess you can get it in different colors, or like dark, light wood, etc. But one of my friends at work had suggested that I call and talk to you first.
Oh, that's a nice. What's that nice smart friend of yours? What's their name?
It's Chris.
Chris, he's a Chris. Smart guy. That Chris. Now let me ask you. You said there's scratches, but you were painting. Are we talking about a stained finish?
Yeah. These are stained wood. I was painting the walls around.
Oh, okay. All right. So old. I've got a better product than the Old English for you to do.
Okay.
But you're driving, right?
Oh, but I have a good memory.
All right, good. Howard's Restore a Finish. Okay, Howard, you know anybody named Howard?
Actually, I do.
All right, well then don't think about that friend when you go into the local Ace. You want buy the neutral finish of the Howard's Restore a Finish, and you're going to buy some quadruple zero steel wool.
Got it.
You're going to put that in a little bowl. You're going to wear some rubber gloves. You're going to put the steel wool in there. You're going to wring it out.
With light pressure, you're going to go right over the top of this, carefully over the top of this trim. Wipe it with a cotton rag, and that trim's going to look brand new.
Oh, wow, fantastic.
Brand new.
That's what I'm looking for, something that makes it look good.
You're right.
I mean, it's not in bad shape, but, you know, maybe I'm just being a little bit too...
too picky?
Too perfectionist.
Yeah. Is there a Mrs. Is there a Mrs. Frank?
Yeah. In fact, I'll probably task this to her.
Good luck with that. I hope that works out for you, Frank. Thanks so much for the phone call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Who am I going to talk to? Let's talk to, how about Neil in Buffalo Grove? Hey, Neil, you're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. Here's my problem. My house was built in 1985. By my front door, I have light switches that control my outside lights by my garage, my front door. So years ago, I put on an Intermatic digital timer.
Okay.
That broke. So I'm looking to get a replacement for it. So I went to Lowe's and all the places, and all the new ones have a neutral wire. My house doesn't have a neutral. So does anybody make one that, because they told me it won't work without a neutral wire. So
what do you mean you don't have a neutral wire?
The electrician said that... And that houses built in the mid '80s don't have a neutral.
I don't agree with that. When you open up the box, have you done any of this?
I just put the switch in, but I had an electrician in because they were doing other work.
Yeah.
In the house, and they said that there is not a neutral.
Well, there should be a neutral. You have
okay.
at this box, you have okay. So at this box, you have two switches.
Right, I have one switch that controls the inside lights, and then the other side controls the outside lights.
And the inside lights that you have is just is it a single pole, meaning that the switch is just in one spot?
Right.
Okay, so it's a single pole. So then, all you have there is probably two black wires to that switch. And then the other switch, it isn't that you don't have a neutral. You don't have a neutral to that box.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So they need to run a neutral there. Now, let me ask you this. What kind of switches do you have? Are they toggle or Decora?
Toggle. They go up and down.
No. But in other words, it's, you know, the Decora are like a flat rectangular switch that's like a paddle. Is this more like a traditional switch?
Okay, no. Now they're a paddle.
Now they're a paddle.
Right. He changed the one was a conventional switch from the 1980s.
Okay.
The original one, and so he just put in a toggle one that goes up and down.
A paddle.
Right.
Okay. Here's a way you can get around this if you don't want to have the electrician come back to run a neutral wire.
Okay.
There is a surface-mounted timer switch that is made by a company called Woods. Okay? If you put a standard toggle switch over the top of this or into this box, okay? So we take the Intermatic out. We put in a regular switch so that you could turn those lights in the garage on and off, regular, up and down with your hands, right?
Right, right.
This switch goes over the top of the box. You screw it to the actual trim. It mechanically flips the switch.
Okay.
Now, it's surface mounted, so, I mean, you know how your Intermatic one kind of stuck out a little bit more than the...
Right.
Okay, this sticks out a little bit more than that, but it's about a $25 item. And it's just a mechanical timer. It's digital, up and down you go, no neutral wire, which if you, depending on how the wiring is for your electrician to run that neutral wire, you know, you could spend another couple $100.
Yeah. Okay, can I get that online or somebody sell it?
Go to your local Ace, my friend. They got it there.
Local Ace, great.
All right.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay.
I appreciate you calling this morning. Quick break and then we'll get to news. Don't go away. Chihuahua. Yep. Yeah. Hey, would you think about interviewing the people from Pearl Valley Farms? Never in their wildest dream did they think that we would be playing the song from The Lion King. Do you get it?
I get it. I'm not sure if everybody else gets it.
I love The Lion King. It's the circle of life, okay? So a couple weeks ago, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, I sit down with Jeannie McGrory, sales account executive extraordinaire here at WGN Radio, and cute as can be. And we meet the people from Pearl Valley Farms. And we're talking, and I said, so tell me about this company. And they're like, oh, well, we're egg farmers out in Rockford. Well, here, let's get our guest on the line here because I want him to hear me as well. Joining me on the phone line right now is Ben Thompson, Executive Vice President of Pearl Valley Farm. Hello there, Ben.
Hey, Lou, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us this morning. So I'm sitting with some of your associates there at the table, and we're talking about this organic place, and he goes, oh, we make eggs. We don't make eggs. The chickens make the eggs. They lay the eggs.
Right.
And we sell these eggs all over the country. We've been doing it for how long? You been doing this?
We've been doing it since 1987, so roughly 30 years.
Okay, so 30 years of chickens putting out eggs, and your whole thing with your chicken farm is you're like a responsible chicken farm, correct?
Yeah, we're a responsible egg farm. We're very sustainable. We have a hatchery that we bring in the baby chicks. We are at 1 to 2 days old. We raise the birds up until about 16 weeks, then move them down to the layer farm. And then that's when they start laying eggs. And we buy all of our corn and soybean meal from local farmers. And then all of our waste is then turned into fertilizer.
Okay, hold it. Hold it right there. Wait, I'm going to stop you. Now, one thing that a lot of people don't know, or I suppose they would know this, is that these chickens, as they're laying eggs and eating and growing and living a nice little life out there on your farm, is they poop a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, And
it is quite possibly the stinkiest, nastiest thing you've ever smelled in your life.
Yeah, some people would say that. I would say that.
Okay. And then early on, 30-some-odd years ago, and by the way, for those listening, your father founded this whole thing. What were you doing with the chicken poop at that point?
We were trying to, we were just pretty much land applying it, put it on fields for crop farmers.
Right. So it was like a farm thing. And then somebody, I'm assuming your father, hatched the idea. See where I went there with that?
Yeah.
Of making organic fertilizer and you guys creating the whole, stay with me, circle of life. You feed the chickens, they make the eggs, you sell the eggs, you collect the poop, and you make this amazing fertilizer under the brand name of
Healthy Grow and Coop Poop.
Right. And you have this whole line of stuff. And it's really good stuff. Now, you guys are based out in Rockford, correct? Or west of Rockford?
Yep, west of Rockford, about an hour.
And tell me about this fertilizer that you're creating from the hard work of the chickens.
Yeah, we collect it. We have two different types of moistures that we put into the compost, and composting is all about moisture. And then we add wheat straw from our fields. So we grow wheat on the fields and add the straw from those fields and then turn it for 45 days. And it's we're adding oxygen to it, making sure it gets up to about 140 degrees. So we're killing all the bad bugs and then producing all the beneficial microbes and all the beneficial bugs that the soil is going to need to absorb. And then we take that and we screen it and then take it through another process and add other organic inputs to make different types of fertilizers, fertilizers that are good for tomatoes and other vegetables and even field crops.
The interesting thing to me as I was talking with the folks from your company is the whole concept of here's our business, we're egg farmers, but we're going to take the byproduct of this business, and we're going to turn it into something else that's natural, that can be beneficial to people. And at the core of this, it's all the chickens, right? And these different fertilizers and different positive makeups of these organic products, the core root is the chicken poop, right?
Yeah, correct.
It's all natural.
It is all natural.
And what's amazing is when I said that, you know, the actual, you know, when you go into these, you know, it doesn't smell good. When you open this stuff up, it is not, and there's not an offensive smell when you open up a bag from the garden center or the home center.
Yeah, it's because it's the way it's made. I mean, we take it and we turn it for 45 days, and at the end of that 45-day cycle, it becomes more of an earthy odor, more kind of smells like dirt than it
right.
does like a pungent chicken manure.
Right. It's amazing. And so there's a bunch of different lines underneath this. Now, tell me some of the different product lines that's available for different types of organic gardening.
For different types of organic
gardening. Well, in other words, are there products that are specific for the lawn? Are there products specific for growing tomatoes or whatnot? You know, right? There's a whole different, all different blends, correct?
Yep, absolutely. So we've taken our fertilizer through some extensive tests and then added organic inputs to make sure that we have a specific vegetable or a specific flower or herb. So we have all different kinds. We have an all-purpose. We have a tomato and veggie, a herb and rose, or a veggie and herb, a rose and flower, a bulbs and bloom, and all these things are mixed specifically for those for the specific organic
right.
Gardens.
Now, I know that your products are available at garden centers and hardware stores like Ace and True Value. Do you also do stuff for like larger users? Like, is there a commercial opportunity? You know, like larger bags of this thing. If let's say a landscaper wanted to get into this business.
Oh, absolutely. We sell to a bunch of different distributors that distribute to different landscapers, different golf courses, different types of arenas.
Right. All right. I'm gonna ask you a couple more questions because I'm super interested in all this. Okay. So the egg farm has been around for 35 years, or the fertilizer company?
The egg farm has been around for 30 years.
30 years.
The fertilizer company is something that we've always saw. We always thought there was a value in the manure. So
right.
It's been around just as long. Just we got our start with eggs.
Right. And now you said your dad started this business, and did you grow up on the farm?
Oh, absolutely.
And was this something like you kind of knew you wanted to do?
Oh, when I was a kid, probably not. I was probably tired of chickens.
Right.
But when I was around 25 or 26, I came back to the farm and realized what my family had built. So
that's cool.
I took a lot of pride into it. Yep.
That's cool. So you're the kind of the second generation of this,
yep.
Bringing it on. And I love that whole angle of it, family owned. And about how many people are working out in the business out there? How many employees do you have out there?
Well, we've grown significantly.
We've grown significantly organically. Just kind of throw that in there.
Organically, exactly. we probably have between all of our different companies and different types of egg products that we make, we probably have about 200 people.
That's awesome. I love this story. I love the whole thing of what you guys are doing. I love the fact that you're raising these chickens. And then just a quick thing on the egg business, you distribute these eggs to, I mean, people without even knowing it are buying and consuming your eggs because you're really all over the country, definitely in the Chicagoland area with your products, correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We can distribute coast to coast, but the majority of our eggs right now go in the Midwest.
That's awesome. I think it's such a great story. I think your products, they look great. The packaging, when you see it, explains exactly what you want. And there's such a big trend right now. I was talking about this earlier with the fact that so many people are concerned about the types of chemicals that are in their lives and want to reduce that. And this whole organic movement, I really don't think is going anywhere. And honestly, I think it's the tip of the iceberg for anybody that's in this business. But, you know, if you guys all play this right, you're going to need more chickens. So I don't know if that's in your plans, but you need more chickens.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Lindsay, we have to do a live remote. Where are you? Pearl City, is that right?
Yeah, west of Chicago, about 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours. We need to do a remote at the chicken farm. Can we make that happen? He's the vice president. He's executive vice president.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime.
See, there you go. We're out there. We could, there we go. We play this song, very good. And then my last question for you, Ben, do you have a really good omelet recipe? We could serve omelets. Fresh eggs.
If you go to our website, we have a recipes tab that says refreshed on a regular basis.
I smell a stinky remote at the place with the Circle of Life eating omelets with our listeners out there. I bet we have a ton of listeners in Pearl City and Rockford, right? We're going to need to spend the night. You got to. I don't want to sleep in the chicken coop, but maybe you got like a pole barn or something. I could bring a tent.
Yeah, we can set you up. No problem.
I have a feeling that Ben Thompson, executive vice president of Pearl Valley Farms, is never going to be on the radio with us again. You're a good man, Ben. I like that whole family story. I love the whole thing. I like what you guys are doing, and I wish you nothing but success. If people want to learn more about your products, how about a website?
Yeah, go to pearlvalleyfarms.com, and if you're specific to fertilizer, go to healthygrow.com.
Thank you so much for joining us. I don't know what else I got to do to paint the picture. 8:50 in the morning. We'll be back right after these. 8:54 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Back to the phone lines. Here's Debbie in Pleasant Prairie. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I told your producer I have a gas fireplace in my house. We built the house in 98.
Okay.
It's an overhang on the outside. Do you know what I mean? There's no foundation underneath it. And we have rabbits making their home underneath there, and I have tried to get rid of them. I actually threw in a couple of bags of topsoil, put some wire down, put bricks around it, and now I've noticed that a couple of bricks are missing. I think the rabbits have actually pushed them underneath there. So
we're sure they're rabbits.
We've got a lot of rabbits and maybe chipmunks.
Okay. Okay, couple things. Have you heard me talk about the Bonide Mole Max?
No, I haven't. I bought some Repelzol.
Right? Well, that's good stuff, too. But the Mole Max spike is this battery-operated and or solar-powered spike that you're going to drive into the ground. And it is going to mimic the sound of a chattering animal that's in distress. And it really works well on moles and chipmunks. I'm not sure about rabbits, but it's going to help you at least with half of that. If you use that with that Critter Ritter or Repelzol, and you really have to use a lot of it, they're going to go somewhere else. But keep trying to put stuff in the way so that they not only smell something there that they shouldn't smell, like, hey, I don't want to get eaten by this fox. And I think there's somebody being eaten because I can hear him in the ground. And then also it's going to slow them down from getting underneath there. They're trying to make more bunnies, and so they're looking for a place that they can hang out.
And I don't want them. I mean, they're welcome to be out farther in the yard, but please not underneath my fireplace.
Right.
What should I fill it in with? I mean, I tried topsoil, but then I got afraid that I'm going to rot something.
Stone.
Throw gravel.
Buy a bag of gravel and put gravel there. It's going to slow them down enough that while they're digging and you sprayed all this stuff, that they're going to go somewhere else.
And so you think maybe even it could be moles or something like that that I'm not even seeing?
No, I think it could be something like a raccoon or even a skunk.
Oh, God.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. And would you mind saying the name, the
Bonide, Bonide Mole Max Spike.
And I can get that,
at your
right?
local Ace Hardware store and go from there. What would you like me to do?
I'm going up to Pleasant Prairie tonight, today.
Are
tonight.
You?
Kenosha.
Really? K-Town?
It's the Miss Kenosha pageant tonight.
Oh, aren't you like a judge?
I have been, but tonight I am the editor-in-chief. I put together some video for it. I'm not. I mean, I just made that name up on air.
Editor, right? You're gonna. Hopefully, that'll be on your name pad, your name tag when you go up there. Would you?
But now I would like you to break, please.
This looks like a promo about my show that's on right now.
How about you read Lindholm?
I have to tell you, I went to Menards, and I got a hold of a guy in the paint section. And he said, I listen to Lou Manfredini all the time. And don't get anything else because you won't be satisfied because Lou told you so.
Some nights I stay up cashing in my bad luck. Some nights I call it a draw.
9:08 in the morning.
Some nights I wish that my lips could build a castle. Some nights I wish they just fall off.
This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Rogers Roofing, by DykstraHomeServices.com, and by Ace Hardware. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. It's also our text line. We'll do that after 9:30 this morning. Let's go back to the phone lines now at 312-981-7200. It's Doug in St. Charles. Hey, Doug, you're on WGN.
Hey, Lou, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Hey, I replaced all my windows 20-plus years ago. And the bigger ones seem to be leaking the gas, and they're Herd brand. And I've done some research. They sell a whole kit where you can buy the plastic, the new tracks, and then the whole upper and lower double hung.
By Marvin?
No, these are Herd.
No, I understand, but the replacements, is that a Marvin product?
No, it's actually from Herd.
Oh, wow, okay. I didn't know that they offered that.
Yeah, and, well, I guess my question, obviously it's a pretty easy fix because I've had them out before, so I know how to do it, but it seems like the bigger windows in the family room, they're a little drafty. You feel I'm going to get that same result, or am I better off replacing the whole thing? Yeah, good question, right?
Well, no, I mean, the reason I'm laughing is, when we renovated our home that we live in now 15 years ago or so, we put an addition on, and I have Herd windows in my home. Okay, so this is 2001, and at the time Herd had just changed over to a new system in their balancers and everything like that, and we put the windows in, and I had used Herd quite a bit in a lot of homes that I built. They make a fine window.
Okay.
And, so just as a backstory, you know, I was already on the radio and this and that, and I must have been talking about this addition, and the folks at Marvin were like, we want to provide your windows for your home and this and that. And I'm like, well, you know what? I go, you make great windows, but I have a relationship with a dealer that I've done business with forever, and I'm just going to go with these windows. We put them in, you know, they're fine. That first winter, my wife says, man, these windows are drafty. And I'm like, oh, it must be that they're, you know, not locked or whatever. Well, it turns out they had a recall on this whole thing. And then that spring, Herd came and replaced all of the balancers and the sashes in the existing windows.
Well, were yours the compression or were they the easy tilt?
They're easy tilt.
Yeah, because I missed it by like a year. They went to the easy tilt, right? Right after I installed these, okay.
These are compression. They're not easy tilt.
Oh.
Point is they put all this in there, and those windows just have never been right.
Okay,
and,
that's my question.
And they've never been right, and to the point where, and you know, the thing is, you did all this work, and I paid for these windows. I mean, there wasn't, you know, I didn't get any windows for free or whatever. And they've just never been right. And it's, and I think it was, you know, I got caught in a design thing, you know, where it was there. My point is, don't do this.
Okay.
You're going to spend the money, and it's going to be, and part of the problem is now, where these windows went in, it was all brand new. So you've got a 20-year-old house. There isn't an opening that's square. You know what I mean? You're going to have to mess around with getting it all right, and then something's not going to lift correctly. Something's not going to tilt correctly. Something's not going to seal correctly. I'm not disparaging the Herd name. They make a fine product, but the experience that I had wasn't the best one. Now,
well, the replacement kit is actually more than the actual window if you buy it whole.
Right. That's the other part.
I mean,
so
it's
not
just the labor part of it.
Right, exactly. Well, but that's the thing. But even the labor part, there's a fair amount of labor. Are you going to try and do this yourself?
Yeah, I put them in to begin with. I'm pretty handy.
Yeah. So, you know what?
But I got a 100-year-old home where I matched the trim on this addition, and, you know, it's taken all the fragile trim back off to get it done.
Well, let me ask you, would you ever consider a replacement window?
Well, as far as taking out redoing the whole thing or just...
No. So now you leave the trim there. Sashes come out, balancers come out, the frame of the window stays, your interior trim stays. And now you get a replacement window. I mean, in order to do this, you're going to have someone do it. But they're going to come in and install a brand new setup within the existing jam.
Oh. Who does that?
Well, there's a bunch of people. But what I'm thinking for you is, the folks at Gilkey, they not only make vinyl, but they have a composite line of windows. So it's a fiberglass window. Well, what is the trim? What color are these windows?
Well, it's sandstone on the outside, but it's a wood finish on the end, which I stained and varnished.
Okay, so they can give you the sandstone on the outside with a applied wood on the inside that then you can stain.
Oh, okay.
And then
great.
It's super strong, right? It goes right into your jam. The interior trim doesn't have to. And the benefit of the fiberglass is because it's so strong, you don't lose a lot of glass space.
All right.
Okay.
Do they look like they're a rehab type thing, or do they look normal?
When you're done, you're never going to know.
Okay. All right.
888, the number 3, Gilkey, and you can tell them that I told you to call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Hey, there's a new team coming to town, the WGN TV Evening News team at 4. Join Ben Bradley, Lourdes Duarte, Demetrius Ivory, and Jarrett Payton weekdays at 4 starting on Tuesday at WGN TV.
312-981-7200 is our phone number, 920 in the morning. Mary calling in. Hi, Mary. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou. I'm calling actually for my mom. She's 84 and 7/8 years young. She's about to have an 85th birthday.
Wow.
And she's got a very old ceiling in our house in the living room that is all cracked. And she's wondering if instead of just patching certain areas, whether she should get she's wondering about a quarter-inch drywall, whether they can put quarter-inch drywall over the entire ceiling, and it would, you know, be better than just patching certain areas.
Well, I mean, how big is that area?
It's like a regular large living room. I don't know how large. I'm not.
Okay. And you've been to this house, right?
I live in this house.
Oh, you live in this house.
I'm with her because she's got ALS.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Is the ceiling relatively flat?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's flat.
And when you say it needs patching, what is it? Is the cracking is in the paint?
Yeah, well, I was scraping and it was coming even beyond the paint. There's a one little small area where maybe the plaster's coming down.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, like 2 years ago, started taking a bath, you know, put the water on in the bath, and then it sort of, it went all over, you know. The next minute I see him grabbing all the towels out of the linen cabinet.
Okay, but that was a leak that got fixed.
It wasn't a leak. I mean, he overflowed the toilet.
Oh, got it. Okay, all right.
Yeah, not the toilet, excuse me, the bathtub.
Right. I mean, sure, can you put a quarter-inch layer over the entire ceiling and then finish it all and patch it all, and that will give you a nice solid surface to paint to? Yeah. But I think if it were me, I would just scrape the areas that are a problem. If there's no leak at all, mm-hmm. I would do the... Are we going to do this ourselves, or are we going to hire a painter?
Hire, definitely.
Okay.
Hire.
I would have them... I would show them the area. I think that from a cost perspective, it'll be less expensive, and you'll end up with essentially the same results, but save a lot of money. Scrape it. They'll put a type of finish up there called Durarock, which is a very durable finishing product, and then a little joint compound over the top. You can even put a little texture if you need to hide some imperfections on the ceiling, you know, a little bit thicker nap on the roller, basically. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
I think she wants it all perfectly just a regular ceiling, no texture.
Okay. Well, I mean, so these are your two options. If you hang drywall and have them finish that off, I mean, it's going to cost you, you know.
Like, would they take all the plaster down and then
no,
put
they'd
the
go
up?
They'd go right over the top with the quarter-inch drywall.
Oh.
Or even a half-inch drywall. They'd come in, you know, hang it all, tape it all. That's a messy proposition. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah, right.
And if I had to, you know, if I had to guess to come in, hang the are there any ceiling fixtures?
Just one.
It okay.
Probably needs to be removed because it's not used.
Okay, so that, I mean, you'll cap that. And, you know, it'd probably take them a week and a half if they worked solidly. Maybe not a week and a half, but they would have to. There's no crown molding?
I think there is.
Okay, so then the crown molding would have to come off.
Right.
Then the drywall ceiling goes on. Then the crown molding has to go back on, or new crown molding. So we're, and you know, whether or not the painter does that, or then they have to get a carpenter in there, all of a sudden we're spending $2,500, $3,000 on a ceiling.
Exactly.
If we have the painter come in, patch it, smooth it out, repaint it, we're talking $500.
Okay.
So, I mean, those are just raw numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, Mary, that if it were me, that's what I would do. And I wish your mother only the best of health and a happy 85th birthday that's coming up. 9:24 in the morning, listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's another Mary, but she's in Oak Park. Hi, Mary.
Hi. Hi, Lou. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah.
So I purchased a home about 9 months ago, and when I had it inspected, the inspector had told me that in the attic there were some improvised, I guess, supports put in for this, you know, for the roof. And to this day, I can't believe I didn't notice it as much as I notice it now. But in my roof, the ridge line, there is a slight dip. There's a slight sag in it. And along the side, I have a little bit of a dip, too. So, basically, it's an old house. It's over 100 years old. It's 110, and it's a craftsman.
Can I tell you, Mary?
Sure.
Can I tell you something? If you and I live to be 110 years old, we're going to sag too.
Well, that's okay. I'm glad you're saying that because that's actually kind of where I'm going with this. So, I have been just literally over months not being able to find anybody who can, you know, who works on this kind of old houses. So it's an old frame Craftsman single floor bungalow. And I did find a one carpenter, extremely expensive. And then I just by a fluke found another old carpenter. He's a basically a contractor who came out and he said, well, what you have is pretty typical. I've seen a lot of this. And he kind of looked at what they had done and he said, yeah, it's not really working. My concern is it causing any stress? But here's my questions. I want to make sure my roof is structurally adequate.
Mm-hmm.
I've had different people say don't bother with structural engineers. They just charge you a lot of money. And so I feel like I don't want to go over the top, spend a ton of money on. I don't have a ridge beam, which I just found out. I guess these houses were not built with ridge beams going across.
You just have the rafters that are cut together.
Exactly.
And they meet in the middle. And this attic is unfinished?
It's unfinished, yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah.
Do you have, do you know if you have rafter ties that go across, like horizontally, that create like a triangle when you look up in that attic? So you know how the rafters come up and they meet at the top, right? And then if you came down from the peak and you came straight down like 3 feet, is there a board that runs horizontally that's then nailed or screwed to the rafters?
That's what I think that the previous owners had built to put in. Okay. But the issue with that is they built these, but they also had it built to go down and it's literally getting supported on the ceiling because it's not on a support beam, which we finally realized.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. I think it's wise to have to take a look at this. One other thing, this will drive you crazy that I'm going to point this out to you. But when you go out today, when we're done off the phone, you're going to, you know, the ridge, right? That long ridge on the side of the house where the roof slopes. Okay. I want you to look at the fascia, you know, where the gutter is.
Yep.
And I want you to put your eyeball and take a look at the distance of the fascia at the corner of the distance from the wall. Okay. And then as you look down and you kind of eye it to the other end of the house, is the middle bowing out? Okay. The fascia. Like when you look at it, is it a straight line or does it kind of look like you're pregnant?
Okay.
Just a little bit. Just a little baby bump. Like I just pregnant 3 months.
Okay.
And then if you see that little baby bump in the middle, that's telling you that that sag is really, and that's probably the indicative of a little bit of some sag in a 110-year-old house. Okay. Yes, in fact, that should be supported. I don't necessarily know that you're ever going to get that little baby bump out, but we can just make sure that little baby bump doesn't get any bigger.
Okay.
That it doesn't go to full term. To stay with the metaphor.
Okay.
In a positive way. And what I want you to do is I want you to go to the NARI website, NARI.org, National Association of the Remodeling Industry.
Okay.
And you're going to type in your zip code there in Oak Park, and you're going to find some carpentry contractors to come out and see you, and they'll help you.
Got it. Okay. Do you think it's wise that I get a structural engineer to get a look at?
No. Get a carpenter that knows what they're doing, Mayor, and they'll be able to fix it for you, and you will have a house that'll be 210 years old with no baby. We'll be back right after this.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
We don't have to talk. Oh, my God, I got to talk. Talking is work. You got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
Mm-hmm. Time for our Just Text Me segment. Not sponsored by a telephone company or an insurance company that should be telling people not to text and drive. It's crazy the amount of people that I still see driving around with their phones in their hands all the time. It's crazy.
We just reported this story about texting may have been involved with this terrible accident in Texas this week.
Yeah. Oh, the bus and the...
Yes.
Ugh.
13 people killed.
Crazy. Ugh. All right. Good morning, everybody. It's time for Just Text Me. Lindsay, do we have some text messages that you can tell us about?
We do. These are all from non-driving listeners people, at the moment.
Good.
847, good morning, Lou. My banister in the front hall has lost a lot of its finish. What is the best product to paint it? I'm reluctant to use a wood stain because I'm not sure it would turn out well, and I think painting would be easier, but I want the finish to last.
Mm. If you paint a banister because you're touching it all the time with the oils from your hand and everything and scratching, I just don't think you're going to be happy with the durability of it. If it's lost the finish, here's what I would do. Howard's Restore a Finish, quadruple zero steel wool, light pressure up and down to kind of see what it looks like after that. Then, there she is, typing away. Then, If you like the way it looks, then you're done. Leave it alone. Wipe it with a cotton rag, and that's it. If you don't like it, then just get a waterborne finish, you know, like a waterborne polyurethane with a foam brush and paint it on. After that dries, hit it with a little steel wool. One more coat, steel wool, done.
Bam. 630. Lou, thank you for correcting Sam on the dog hunt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lou, I have a 60s kitchen table with a Formica top that has a couple bleached out rings on it. Is there a way to refinish this top?
No. Well, yes. There is if you paint it. Rust-Oleum makes a product called Countertop Transformations, which is awesome. It is a weekend project. You can go to HouseSmartsTV.com and type in countertop, and you'll see a video of us actually doing it. And by the way, on the HouseSmarts thing, we are no longer on WGN-TV on Saturdays at 4:30.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so not they, we our original airing will continue to be Sundays at 10:30, but we have been preempted by something that no one will watch.
Huh.
So, you know, their loss, not mine. The fine people at WGN Television, who evidently are not showing me any love. That's okay. That's all right. Is that the phone ringing? Is that CBS calling on the phone? Is that what I hear ringing?
Yes, please hold.
Okay.
Please hold.
Hold on.
Oh, got another one. Please hold.
It's ABC. Hold on. Lou. Okay, go ahead.
Lou, there are cracks in my pebble-surfaced cement patio. Can it be resurfaced or does it need to be totally replaced?
With that exposed Merrimack look, I mean, you can fill the cracks in if it's a surface that is, in other words, if it's sinking where like it's broken and it's sinking away, you can have that pumped up to bring it back together. So if it's that case, you could call PermaSeal for their poly level system. Mm-hmm. And if they were able to write it to get it nice and flat, you probably won't see the cracks. If you fill it with a like a concrete patch, you will see a color differential. I love that exposed aggregate look, but it is problematic to work on long term.
Great. And last question. What is your opinion of ceramic paint for exterior cedar such as Rhino Guard?
The claims that a lot of these companies make about their guarantee and their warranty are just a little too aggressive for me. In particular, cedar has so many, the tannins that are in cedar, they're just there forever. I mean, other than a 100-year-old piece of cedar, it's constantly going to be trying to get that oil out of the wood. And if I put some kind of coating on the top to try and hold it back, I just worry. I don't want you going into these things where they say lifetime warranty. Nobody can do that. There's no, I mean, and the, if you want to paint your cedar, then go ahead and paint it, but you're going to paint it again. I would rather you stain it, but, it's up to you. Don't get, it looks great when it's done, but don't think that you're done for the life and you never have to do anything again. That's my only point. All right. That's our Just Text Me segment, for this Saturday. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's talk to Ryan in Franklin Park. Hey, Ryan, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Hey, I replaced the pump for my sump pump for my pit in my basement, you know, for groundwater.
Okay.
The original one had gone dead. I went and bought a new pump, put it in there. I've got overhead sewers, but I also have it that I can turn it for it to go outside. When I put the new pump in, it was going outside. You know, I was just draining everything to the outside over the summer. For the winter, because I don't want a big mess of ice and everything, I switched it so it would come, you know, go to the overhead sewers and out, you know, to the street.
Okay.
And I'm getting back up into my kitchen sink in my bathroom, laundry room, water. My fear is that I've got too powerful of a pump. So my question is I can't find anywhere on a pump, whether it says a third horse or a half horse pump. So my question is there a way to alleviate the pressure that's going out before just switching to a different pump?
This pump kicks on. You switch it to go
When you say tell me how the piping is. It comes out. It's an inch and a half pump.
Correct. Yes.
It comes up out of the sump pump, and then what does it do?
It Y's. There's a Y that goes up and goes out the wall to the street, and then there's a Y that goes up to the overhead sewers out into the sewer line. You know, the one that goes into the sewer line basically taps into the main line coming out of the house.
Okay.
And runs out to the sewer.
And so when it, so in that Y, so you're able to turn, you have a valve on the outside part.
I have a valve on each of those just past the Y. There's a valve, so I can turn one to on, one to off, you know, and direct the water which way I want it to flow.
Okay. It's not your pump that's too powerful. It's your sewer line that's clogged. And so what's happening is it's pumping that water out because you're coming out of an inch and a half pipe going into your sewer line that's a four-inch line.
Right.
Okay.
It goes from inch and a half to two.
Yeah.
And then from two, it runs in a two-inch line for about 6 or 8 feet before it empties into the four-inch line.
Before it empties into the four-inch line. Okay.
Right.
And then off that, and then that run of the two-inch, is there anything teeing off of that?
Yes.
What?
The kitchen sink. The laundry room, they didn't wire, the people who ever did this plumbing did not wire these valves into it. So they're all teed into it. So when the water from some pump turns on, instead of it, you know, it, instead of it, if it were wide, it wouldn't backtrack up the pipe. But mm-hmm. because teed, it's going left and right down those tees.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, so two things. I think you probably have some kind of blockage in the sewer line. Okay. That's one thing. And secondly, the way that that plumbing may be, it might be wise if you're going to continue this for the winter, that you redo that plumbing, that little horizontal run. And if it were me, I would have your sump have its own line and Y at the point where it goes into the sewer line. Is that cast iron or is it plastic?
Plastic.
Okay.
No, cast iron. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So where it goes to the sewer line is cast iron.
Okay. So that at that point, and it, so it's plastic right there, right?
No, it's all copper.
Oh, this whole, all this is copper?
Everything's copper.
Wow, that's nice.
You know, what's worse than that is that they put the water in. Underneath it, they've got electrical wiring. Then they've got the venting for the air conditioning and all that stuff. It's a monstrosity.
Can you access this pipe? That's the problem.
Yeah.
But in other words, could I, this is my point, where that Y is that comes out of the sump pump, could you come off of that Y from the pump, and instead of going into that two-inch line where it transitions and everything's feeding off of that, you cap that at that one end, right?
Okay.
And now you take that other line and go all the way to the sewer line and put a Y there and have it dump in there.
Yeah, I'd have to hire somebody to do that.
Right.
You know, it's not that's, on my capabilities.
That's the right way to do it. And I would still check the sewer line.
So well, here's, I ratted the sewer line.
Yeah, when?
Oh, geez, three or four times.
No, but when? Like recently?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that seems clear.
Yeah, and the only room on the first floor that doesn't get back up into it is the shower, but that's the only drain that has a the flap for the reverse, so the water can't reverse back into it.
Right.
The laundry room and the kitchen sink don't have those,
right.
So...
By the time you did all that, like in other words, if you did a backflow preventer on each one of those fixtures, the better way to go would be to just have it piped separately to the sewer line. Technically, Ryan, you're probably not supposed to dump it into the sewer line. So, you know, just so you
know. Oh, no, we're okay to dump it in
the
sewer.
Oh, you are?
Line.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, if that's the case, I'd call PermaSeal because they have plumbing services. Okay. They can come out, take a look at this, fix it all. They could run a camera down that sewer just to make sure everything's copacetic while you're doing all this. And you got somebody that knows what they're doing from a both sewer perspective and licensed plumbers to do the work. You could call them and or you could call plumbers911.com, both of them, to come out and take a look at all this. Appreciate the phone call. It's 9:50 in the morning. Don't go away. Time for Lou's last call. Thank you so much for listening. Our last call is sponsored by Townstone Financial. Lynn's for producing. Bob Ferguson for pushing all my buttons. Sam Panionovich for doing the sports out in Arizona for the Final Four. And having Dave Schwani here. Bob's in Plainfield, and he's our last caller. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Lou.
How are you, sir?
Listen to you every Saturday.
Thank you very much, sir.
I have a six-year-old cat that likes to scratch the trim around my doors. I have wood doors, and she scratched it down to the wood where it's actually white. Can I sand that down with steel wool and use Howard's Restore Finish, or should I call in a trim carpenter and have him replace the entire door, frame?
So she scratched, the cat scratched the wood. They're deep scratches.
Correct.
Yeah, the Howard's Restore Finish is really more for the a scratch and a finish. But if they got down to that wood, that's not going to help you at all. You certainly could try sanding it down, but what's going to happen is you'll end up changing the shape of the wood.
A lot of the design is gone.
Right. So if it's all gone, you're not gonna get the sanding's just gonna make it worse. So I'd probably have them come and replace the trim, and then I don't know what you do to get the cat to stop doing that scratching, but
you take her to the vet and have her front claws taken off.
Well, you could do that, and then then she won't be able to scratch, but probably changing that out would be the best thing. Hang on a second. We're going to send you out a Santa Seal, the reusable, flexible, and repositionable wax-free toilet gasket with a perfect fit every time. Get yours at santaseal.com. Don't go away.